can't preach after that, you might as well just go home, right? Come on, y'all. We might just be here a while, okay? Let me, y'all just get comfortable. I'm kidding. I won't keep you any longer than I normally do, but that's usually a while. Man, it is. Can we just welcome all these new people that are here? God has blessed us with so many new people today. We love you guys. Glad you're here. And so good to meet some of you coming through the door. And man, it's just so much fun and exciting times. And man, I was so excited playing back here today that I think my watch, if you clap your hands real hard, my watch will say, "Are you okay? Did you fall?" It'll say that. I'm like, I'm just worshiping, man. It's all right. Just leave me alone. No, it is great, man, to come in this building and be able to worship the Lord and welcome all of you great people, man. It's brand new here. And hey, let's give it up, everybody that's part of Discovery Church. Come on, y'all. We never do that, right? We never welcome ourselves. You know, we're just glad we're all here, right? All right, one more welcome. Let's welcome our online church. Hello. Say hello to the camera back there. Glad you guys are here. And we love you. Thanks for joining us online, and I hope today's message is going to bless your life. I want to just say a couple things that didn't get on the news. One of them is that we have a Seder meal this Monday, Thursday, not tomorrow night, that's Monday, but Monday, Thursday is this coming Thursday. It's the Thursday before Easter, and it's always celebrated as the, kind of the last time Jesus had dinner with his disciples, and we're going to actually take you through a Passover experience. Except the only difference is when they did Passover then, they were looking forward to the Messiah. We're going to look back and show exactly how Jesus is our Messiah. It's always a great time. It's a beautiful meal. Some of the food is a little weird, but we're going to have a potluck afterwards so we can wash it all down with stuff that we like to eat, all right? So y'all bring a pot with something in it. That would be great, and we're going to do that. If you would, please, this is important to hear. There's a sign-up sheet back there on the back table, and every year, somebody will call like the night before and say, "Can I come?" You know, whatever. This meal is going to be set up with everybody has a place. It won't be necessarily your name sitting there, but everybody will have a place. And so, are you doing name places? I don't know if we're doing names or not, but okay, okay, all right. So whatever Diane decides to do on that. By the way, she does a great job on this every year. It's absolutely enjoyable. But I'm going to tell you what it will do, because next Sunday we're going to receive communion together as a church. And what it will do, if you will come Thursday night, communion will never be the same. You'll never see it the same ever again. So don't miss this. If you don't know what a Seder is, it's not a saber. It's not a saber like, you know, Star Wars, the lightsaber. Somebody sent me a message this week and said, I don't know what a saber is. And they have spoke it into their phone, and it corrected it to saber. And I thought, you know, if we had food that was all diet food, we could have a light Seder. Anyway, sorry. I know. It's pretty bad. I'd give it a shot anyway. That wasn't even a good shot, in my opinion. But anyway, do sign up for this. I'm serious about that. It'll be a blessing in your life. Y'all, Easter is next week. And I will tell you, this week, people will accept an invitation to worship probably more than any other time of the year. Maybe even bigger than Christmas. I don't know, but whatever, please be inviting people to come and worship. And God bless all you guys who found us online and just kind of came here. And some of you, I was talking to John this morning. He said, "Man, I just saw the sign on the street and stopped," you know. And he's been here ever since. And so I love it. I love it. Whatever way you got here, we're just glad you're here. And we want you to stay and be a part of what we're doing here at Discovery. We're just part of the Big C Church. We don't think we have all the right answers, but we know this, that we love Jesus. And we will love you right where you are and allow you to grow at the pace you need to find who Christ is in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. The ulterior motive is transformation in your life. And that's what today's message is about. Palm Sunday was for real. Jesus came in victorious into Jerusalem. And he left in a very terrible way. But then he came back, y'all. And that's next Sunday. And we have the victory in Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection. We're going to talk about that a little bit at the end of the message today. This is the final message in a series I'm doing called Through the Eyes of Jesus. You saw that on the sermon bumper a bit ago. And we're just trying to see how that we can see the lost and really find people who are lost people, which is all of us at one point, and help them to know who Christ is and find their way to such a greater life, man. Such a great one. We'll talk about that a little bit through the story, through the message today. And the story I've chosen to illustrate really all three messages that we've talked about to kind of tie this series up is the story of the wee little man. When I was in And growing up in church, we had a class called Pew Packers Class. And we sang a song about Zacchaeus, the wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Savior for to see. As the Savior passed along, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to your house today. Now, that don't rhyme at the end, but that's the story. It always bothered me as an OCD drummer. I think we did change it to King James. So I'm going to your house with thee, just so we can make it rhyme, you know, whatever. But that's the story of Zacchaeus. Here's the way it reads in Scripture. Jesus entered Jericho, made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. You know why? Because he stole money from people. Being a chief tax collector in the region means he was the most hated of all the taxes. He got a bigger target on his chest as far as the Jews were concerned, and they hated him. He was a traitor. He had left the Jewish faith to go join the Romans to be able to take taxes from the very people that he was supposed to be about. And Jesus walking down the road, and this guy is there. And he tried to look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Come on, where are my short people? Y'all can relate to that, right? And he had to get up on something, right? And he's got to be able to see. And so he ran ahead. All kinds of innuendo in here. A Jewish man running, that's a whole deal. And then he ran ahead of him and climbed up in a tree, which I don't think probably was very kosher for Jews to do either, beside the road. For Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, and this is so significant, called him by his name. He didn't call him a name. He called him by his name. And that's one of the great significant things. When somebody sees me and they remember my name, it means something to me. And so with Jesus calling him by name, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your house today. And you could hear in the group of people, ooh, and it wasn't a Wheel of Fortune game. Oh, wow. A rabbi is going to his house to eat. In fact, Scripture says Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased, of course. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. You know any notorious sinners in your life? Yeah, that's right. We know them. You're looking at one. In fact, if you look to your left or right, they're all over the place. They are. They are. He was a notorious sinner, and they grumbled. We do that to sinners a lot, don't we? We see them and go, huh. How in the world are they do like that? Why do they act like that? Why do they say those things? How can they possibly? That's so detestable. What's going on with these people? It's exactly what they did to this guy. Meanwhile, I like the word meanwhile. That means things have happened that we don't get to hear in the story. I'm thinking, when I see Luke in heaven, when I say, look, dude, you could have at least given us the conversation that happened in the house, okay? I mean, you could have told us a little more, like, detail. But he says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, and if I have cheated, that should have been since I have cheated people. We do that a lot with our sins, right? Well, you know, if I've done something wrong, you know. That used to be the confession when I was growing up in church. People would come forward and they would tell the preacher, I've said and done some things. And what you did is you cussed somebody or you slapped somebody or you ran over somebody's dog and you didn't go tell them about it. You did something. But we get real generic with our sin while we want to point yours out and say, oh, you know what that is. That's wrong. And here he says, if I have cheated anybody on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today. For this man, what a comment, what a compliment this is. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. That's a pronouncement. And I know we don't get it, but Jesus is saying of all these people who have dogged you out and told you you're worthless and you were no good, I'm telling you, Zacchaeus, by name, that what you've done here today has shown that you are a true son of Abraham. We're going to talk about what he did here in just a moment. And then the theme statement for this whole message is, for the Son of Man came to, everybody say, seek and save. Everybody say, save those who are lost. Our Master's purpose was seeking and saving lost people. God is in love with lost people, and we ought to fall in love with them too, more than we ever have in our lives. In this story, we actually see the two aspects of the first message and the second message of this series. I talked about see the lost. Jesus saw this man, and not only saw him, but said, I want to engage in your life to the point that I want to come to your house and eat, though everybody else is going to talk about me in a bad way. And so he engages in his life. So he saw the lost all the time. And then the last lesson last week was surprise the lost. Get vulnerable with people. Well, Jesus, as far as sin goes, he couldn't say I've sinned, but he surprised the whole community by going to this guy's house and having a meal with him. It shouldn't have happened, but it happened, and it caused some really wonderful things. And all of that was done, that day, and everything that happened in Zacchaeus' life that day was because of one word, and it's going to be the theme of this message, because we're talking about seeking and saving the losses. Everything that we do in Christ, everything that you're doing leading up to your getting in Christ, or however it is wherever you are in your journey, has to do with either faith or the lack thereof. Faith is the center of why people either love Jesus or hate Jesus. They either believe him or they don't. And I love some of these little reels where these guys go on these college campuses and let students ask questions about God, about how, and he just, y'all, he's so, I don't even know the guy's name. You've probably seen some of them where he just literally like fascinates people and goes, oh, and he just gets them all turned inside out, because all of a sudden you start seeing faith in people. And when people who pronounce against Christ, and you have them in your family, you were there at one time or not, and they push against the Lord, and they push against faith and all those things, when they begin to see some things, it is so exciting to us Christians that sometimes we get a little bit giddy for you, right? We're like, oh, you said you might believe. Oh, we're going to baptize you tomorrow. You know, we get like, oh, man, this is going to be good. And we get over in our corner and we pray for you and say, Lord, please, please touch your heart. Drive down deep in their heart that Jesus is real. And sometimes we get a little pushy. We do. And what I want to do with this message today is I want to help us understand that when you are building relationships with somebody, in this particular case, Jesus Christ, it takes a little time for some. And we have to let people grow from where they are to where God wants them to be, because somebody let me do it. It took me 40 years of ministry to find Holy Spirit. I thought he died years ago or just quit working. He didn't die. And just this past year, I've been seeking after him. And every day, God, give me Holy Spirit, because that's what he does. It was put in our prayer team group me this morning. I think somebody put that in there. And then it's like, oh, there it is again. It's all over the place. Listen, this is process. In freedom, we talk about the difference between justification, that means just as if I never sinned before, and the difference between that and sanctification, which is a process of growing over time. Salvation can come in an instant and continue on and on, but sanctification takes a little time. And I'm sorry, for me, it's taken a long time. We used to sing that song, God's still working on me to make me who I ought to be. And so it's a process. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you from salvation standpoint of not thinking, and I mean, this is going to take a minute for me to just describe this, but so many years I thought salvation was a A plus B plus C equals D. Now, I don't do math, okay? That's just my way of saying, that's called linear thinking. That we start here and we did this and we got another step. We did that step. We did another step. We are a steps church, by the way. We talk a lot about taking steps for Jesus and steps in our lives. I get all of that. But the steps, all it kind of looks like this, right? It's this journey. It's like driving on a Georgia road. I mean, it's all over the place and up and down and twisting and turning and all of those things. That's the way we learn about faith. And so I want to try to change our thinking from doing this and this and this equals that to all these things I'm going to talk about, that they are very elementary things. But I want you to see it from a journey. One of the great heretics of the Church of Christ when I was growing up was a man named Reubel Shelley. And I remember going to, which is kind of a cool name, by the way, Reubel. I don't know. How do you get that? He's so cute. Let's call him Reubel. Anyway, I don't know. And so... It's kind of a weird name to me, but he was such a scholarly man. I literally would almost have to take a thesaurus when I heard him speak, because it's like words, like, where are these words coming from? Brilliant, brilliant mind. And he shared something in Tulsa, Oklahoma years and years ago, and I was just sitting there at the workshop, and he said it, and y'all, it marked my thinking, and it blessed me. Because if you think linearly, like if I do this and this and this, then I'm saved. And if I do this and this and this, I might be lost. And you wind up winning, bouncing this yo-yo mentality of when am I going to be, if I'm good, I'm great. If I'm not good, then I'm bad. And it's this yo-yo salvation. I'm in again, out again, in again. It's crazy. And I know some of you have never experienced that before because of what you were brought up in. But when he said salvation is more about a journey than it is a moment or a decision or an act, it's all of it. And so when I present these things today, try to get out of your linear thinking and think about what these things are in terms of as you are living your life. By the way, kudos to our youth, man. They were here, was it Saturday night? I forget what night we was here, Friday? Friday night. Y'all give it up for our youth. Man, our teenagers, they came up here and led worship and all of that. And one of the things that Brandon talked about in his message was this idea of going to all the world. But it's really as you are going into all the world. And I will say this. This is Keith's version of Christianity. As you are growing in your faith and you're going into all of the world. Because too many unbelievers and people outside of Christ think that we now, since we are in the church and we come to church on Sunday and we dress it up and clean it up and all that we don't ever have problems or we don't ever have issues or we don't have any downtime. It's always just, hey, we're just frolicking through the flowers till Jesus comes home. That's not what Christianity is about. Y'all, Christianity is not for sissies, as they say. It's not for people who are wimpy in their walk. Because when you give your life to Christ, you've made a decision to transform your life from something where you were to something where he wants you to be. And you may not be down here yet. You may be still here, but he's always working on you. That ought to bless y'all's life right there, man. That's some of the best preaching I've done in a long time. And I don't remember hearing tonight. Y'all, I'm preaching about 75% better than y'all reacting, all right? So anyway. I don't know, man, what it is. It's just like this morning, a weight's been lifted off my shoulders. I praise God for that, man. It's just awesome. So let's get into the message. Pull your notes out, if you will. We're going to walk through 4 or 5 points here very quickly. And I promise not to keep you too long if I can help it. But here we go. The first thing is, and by the way, before I go too much further and make you think that you can just hang out and wait around and one day you might become a believer, that's not what I'm saying today. You need to put some urgency behind your faith in Christ. You need that. And I know it sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but you might not make it to your car this morning. You say, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Well, you could take your last breath in this service. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to bring some reality about the whole thing. We may not see tomorrow. We may not ever be in, and probably will never be in this exact number of people like we would, or have exactly the people online this morning we ever would again, because things change. And I'm going to tell you, there's something you need to make a decision about. I hope you will today. But then, I want you to think about this. Where are you in this lineup? What step are you in? Where do you need to take a step? Where you need to move forward and think in your journey as you grow? The first one is belief. Belief is trusting in what he did over what I can do. And all these things are going to have something that has to do with what he did. Because too many people think that Christianity is about what I do. I don't bring anything to the table. And if you're waiting until you have your life right before you come to Christ, you've got the emphasis on the wrong syllable. And some of y'all get that tomorrow. But you're thinking backwards. You got the cart before the horse, whatever you want to say. But you're thinking you can't get your life right without coming to Christ. That's the beginning of your walk. However elementary that might look, and belief is trusting in what he did. Without belief, Zacchaeus would have never climbed the tree. He would have never gone. He had some manner of faith there just to be able to see Jesus. And then he goes to the house, and belief caused him to move and to do something different in his life. It's the beginning of this walk of salvation. It's the start. It's the starting point is simply saying, I trust Jesus. I believe in Christ. Scripture says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. And y'all have heard me talk about this before, but he goes on to say, not with a physical birth resulting in human passion or plan. It wasn't like somebody said, well, let's just have a baby. It's not physical birth at all. It is a spiritual birth, and it's not born again. It's born from above, because he says next, but a birth that comes from God. God's the one doing the rebirthing of your heart. I used to think that, man, if I start going to church and I do what's right and I believe or I baptize or whatever step I need to take next, then I'm going to have to just give up everything and stop living my life the way I was and all those things. And some of that is true. A lot of that's true. But what I didn't understand is what I was giving up was nothing like what I was going to gain. And you don't see it. You can't see it. If you got friends around you who are pulling you down from Jesus, you need to leave those friends yesterday. I don't mean leave them in the sense of, you guys are horrible, I'm walking away. I walked away from some of the best friends in my life to follow Jesus. And they got mad at me. They didn't like it. And they blamed me in a lot of different ways for a lot of different things. And praise God, all of them are in Jesus now. Not because of me. I wouldn't say because of me, but they found the Lord as well. And my point is trying to say that let God birth you from the inside out. It's an ascent to faith, yes. And if you want to call that a prayer, if you want to call that a thought, if you want to call that a moment, and we'll give you a moment, a little while, to be able to say, I believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and I want to make him Lord of my life. We'll give you that moment. We'll give you that moment, but it's not just a moment. It's not just, some of you have been working on faith for a long time, and you have been walking like little baby steps. And people all around you have been trying to help you and trying to love on you and trying to bring you forward. And some of you who are strong believers and been doing this a long time, you got somebody in your life, you're trying to say, come on, man. Come on, would you do this? Why don't you think about it this way? And you're trying to be an example and persuade and all those things. And whatever steps they're taking, it's just part of the beginning point of this, and that is belief. Without belief, it's impossible. And I'm getting way ahead of myself when I say that. So number two is this. Repentance is the idea of changing my heart and actions because of what he did. Again, it's not because of what I'm doing. It's not so that I can look good and I can be better and I can do that. I remember going to work on a Friday and just, you know, like everybody else, just language, cussing like a sailor and telling jokes and making fun of people and doing all these things. And I went to church on that Sunday and gave my life back to Jesus. And I remember going to work on Monday thinking, I got to work on all this stuff. And I remember the first time y'all remember these, y'all know what I'm talking about, say a banding machine? It's like this little thin wire that you see wrapped around stuff all over. And we had this banding machine, and I was winding that thing back up, and it caught my thumb, y'all, cut my thumb wide open. And I came out with a word. I ain't going to tell you what I said, but I said a word, and my cousin was standing right there. And this was after I'd given my life back to Jesus, and I just looked up at him, and I said, I'm sorry. He was like, for what? Because that's just the way we talk. But I remember in my heart struggling with the fact that, man, I want to be different. I don't want that to rule my life anymore. I don't want that to be a part of my life anymore. I was in the process of repentance, and it wasn't a one-time thing. Man, in the church I was growing up in, if you just did a couple of steps, you're in, and that's it. Nobody said what else to do. It's just like, what do? Well, you keep on repenting. Somewhere in the conversation with Zacchaeus, he changed his mind about his lifestyle. That's the meanwhile, by the way, that I was talking about earlier. Meanwhile, well, while they're in there talking, something had to happen. A rich tax collector don't just say, well, you know, I think I'm going to give back four times the amount I stole from all these people. Where do you start? But his heart was changed, and it changed his actions, and he wanted to be different. He wanted to follow Jesus, and I'm sure Zacchaeus probably failed again later on, but in this moment, he was repenting and turning his life around. The Bible calls it godly sorrow, and I didn't get this in your notes. I thought about this after I printed the notes, but in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the Bible says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. That's what repentance is. It's like you're living your life and you don't think about what you're doing. You don't care about what you're doing, but you know there's some wrong things and all that. And somebody presents something to you, and you go, oh, I don't think that's right. And you repent and you say, I'm going to go this way. Repentance is a 180-degree turn that's caused by a sorrow in your heart. You don't do it because pastor said so. You don't do it because you felt something or whatever. You do it because you want to follow Jesus. You want to follow him, y'all. This is a transforming life that I think Romans 12, 1 and 2 is talking about, is living this transforming by the renewing of your mind. It's continual repentance over and over and over again. I spoke to somebody before church this morning, said, I messed up yesterday. And I could tell when I walked up to them, I said, I know something's going on. You don't have to tell me, but I just love you and I want to pray for you. And we prayed, and it's just like, I did something yesterday I wished I hadn't done. And the beauty about God is that is a heart of repentance who's here anyway. I used to say, well, man, if I'm going to mess it up, if I'm not going to do right, I might as well not go to church. When I was outside of Jesus, I was not a hypocrite. Like in the worst sort of way, you know? And some of my friends, they would try to live a little bit in Jesus and a little bit in the world. And they would say, well, Jesus wouldn't do that. And I remember telling a friend of mine, you leave Jesus out of this. That's where I was. I thought, well, you know what? If I'm going to go the other way, I'm going all the way. And what's so amazing about this is, and I talk about my former religion a lot, but if it hadn't have been for that, if it hadn't have been for my upbringing in the Bible and a strong Christian, even if you call it religion, no matter what, if I hadn't had all of that, I'd have been lost big time. So thank God for basic Christianity. Thank God for Bible study. Thank God for memorization. Bible verses come out of my head in King James because that's the way I remember them. It just does. It just flows out. And so, listen, repentance is this change of heart. Zacchaeus experienced something and had sorrow for it. And I'm gonna do the next three things very quickly. In Luke 15, there are three stories told, one of lost sheep, where there were 99 sheep, and the shepherd lost one. And the Bible says he left the 99 to go find the one. Can I tell you, God loves lost people? He loves lost people enough that he's happy you're here, but he much rather someone who's not here be here. His heart's out there somewhere. His heart is for the one in this room who's struggling with the most with faith. God's leaning up into you. He's leaning and he's saying, you know, I'm right here. All you got to do is say something. All you got to do is assent and move toward me. That's all you have to do. God's just looking for a movement, and he loves lost people. And in this story, he leaves 99 and goes and finds the one. And the Bible says there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God over the 99 others who are righteous, who haven't strayed. The angels get giddy and have a party whenever somebody who's lost comes to Jesus. When they're out there straying away, they don't know where to go. And the other one's a lost coin. Lady had 10 coins. She lost one. She could have said, you know, 90% ain't bad. I'm good. I just lost one. I know where the other nine are, but no, she ripped her house apart and called people in, and when she found it, she threw a party. And the Bible says, there is joy in the presence of God's angels, even when one sinner repents. Y'all, every time you motivate somebody to turn their life around for Jesus, you cause a party in heaven. That ought to be some motivation, right? I mean, I'm not motivating it for a party. I want people to be saved, but it sure is fun to know that when you help somebody and they turn their life around and come to Jesus, that the angels go, yeah, one more, one more. And then the last story is about a lost boy. Basically, he leaves his father and goes and spends all the money he had in this foreign country, and he's just messed his whole world up. And he says, he finds himself in a hog pen. He said, I got to go back home. I don't want to go back home as a son. I just want to be a servant. And when his daddy saw him, I can't hardly tell this story without tears. My goodness, man. God sees me, and he saw me back there that time I was saying, you leave Jesus out of this. And he's standing at the road going, I'm waiting on you, man. I'm right here. And the father sees him, and he runs to him. And when he gets to him, he puts his arm around him, kisses him, brings him back to the house, throws a party, and his older brother says, what are you doing? This guy spent all of his money, all of your money. I've been here all this time. And this is what he says. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, and he's found. Y'all, repentance is not about getting another mark in your belt for Jesus. Repentance is helping a person not go to hell anymore, but go to heaven one day. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I'm serious, man. This is good stuff. This kind of stuff is so basic to what most of you know that I put messages and words just like in neutral. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I know that. That's cool. Repentance. That's cool. That's good. Y'all, this is changing people's lives. When I say the word confession, what do you think of? Many people, confession for me growing up, as I said, was the invitation song. And at the end of the sermon, the invitation song, and we'd all, and now as we stand and watch, Church of Christ people, sing. As we stand and sing, we could say it. Boy, as kids, we were just looking forward to that old phrase. Man, we'd go get lunch in about 15 minutes. We were so excited, unless somebody came forward. And if they were going to get baptized, lunch was done. It was just over. I mean, we just weren't going to get to eat. That's the way church was. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, man. Some of you really old people remember that if they want to be baptized that day, you couldn't even do it in a building. You had to go down the creek somewhere and find a place and all that. You know, just, you know. But y'all remember when somebody wanted to be baptized, the whole world stopped. And everybody got together and crowded around. We can announce a baptism today and people want to get out of here and go home. I can't stay here. I got stuff I got to go do. And maybe you do. Now, if we have a baptism today and you have to go, don't feel guilty. I'm not trying to push that on you. I'm just trying to say confession to me was that. Some of you, confession is walking into I got to go to St. Paul's Cathedral in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was awesome, beautiful, ornate, gorgeous building. And I got to sit right outside one of the confession booths. I'd never been that close to one of those before. And some people, that's their tradition. They walk up and they say, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. And they get prayed over by the priest. That's their traditional confession. I want to talk to you a little bit about confession in this way. Confession is expressing sorrow and admitting my sin. Why? Because of what he did. Y'all, this is all about faith in what he did. All of it is. In his penitence, Zacchaeus poured his heart out. It seems that it was this outward expression of the wrongs that he had done that prompted Jesus to announce this. Salvation has come to this house today. Even Jesus himself gets giddy in the moment. It's like, yes. It wasn't about the money. It was about the heart of a notorious sinner who confessed, I'll give it all back. I've wronged people. I'm sorry. When you feel inside of your heart the sorrow of what your sin has done, then you want to do something about that. Scripture says if we claim we have no sin, we are fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. There's not a person in this room that would, I don't think, maybe you would, that would be bold enough to stand up in front of all of us and say, I don't have any sin, or that I'm not a sinner. Now, unless you're talking about justified in Christ or just as if you had no sin, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people, y'all, the only difference between us and the unsaved is that we're saved. We change. We move in our life for Jesus. But listen, this idea of confession is outwardly pouring out. He says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Why do we tell God about our sins when he already knows it anyway? You ever thought about that? Well, he already knows it. Why should I say it? I think the saying it sets us free. James says, if you confess your faults one another and pray for one another, you'll be healed. There you go. So the idea of confession is not about to get us to, y'all see what I'm doing with this? It's not about a step of belief. And, now what do I got next? Cha-ching, I marked that one off. And I got, da-da-da. It's kind of like just checking off boxes. But it's a continual life of this stuff. My belief don't stop just because I've done these other things. The last thing I want to talk to you about is baptism. Baptism kind of got a bad rap in our world. Some of you get a little antsy when I talk about baptism because I got a Church of Christ background. And for us, it was just sell the deal, man. Just get the deal done. Get them in the water and you're good. Now, we would have never said it that way. Because to us, can I tell you, meeting the blood of Christ in baptism is what it really is all about. And we can slam our religion if we want to, but baptism was this beautiful ceremonial time where a person who had believed in Jesus buried the old person and brought the new person back. It is a beautiful picture. Romans 6 calls it this way. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in baptism? Did y'all hear that? There's a joining with Christ in this symbolism. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also walk in a new life. Baptism is a burial of the spiritual dead man. And bringing a person up out of the waters of baptism. That's why we shout for joy and we praise God. Because sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. By the way, the H2O back here, which is, by the way, in very good condition right now because Mr. Brendan came over the other day and did his job. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother, for that. It's ready. It's a little cool. We tried to warm it. It is a little cool. But it works the same. It's just H2O, y'all. But it's Jesus. Notice what? Baptism is an outward expression of what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you didn't get the blanks, there's the blanks to fill in on that. It's what he did. It's an outward it's a picture. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose. Praise God he arose, right? Praise God when we baptize people, we don't just baptize them. I had a friend of mine did his first baptism one time, and he had like this right here, and, you know, you just kind of bend them over in the water, and he said, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son." He's holding them under the water. And the Holy Spirit. I wasn't there. I wish I'd have been there. They said the person just came up out of the, he about drowned them right there, y'all. They had a real resurrection and an unforgettable baptism. Okay, let's say that. So it's great. And I baptized people that were scared to death of water. I mean, we had a little kid one time, he was a teenager. He's a little kid, and he said, "I can't do this. I can't do it. I want to be baptized, but I just can't do it. I can't go underwater." And we put his hand on the side of the baptistry, and he held on for dear life. And we dunked everything but about that far down his arm. So he's only going to have one arm in heaven, but hey, he's going to be happy to be there. Oh, they laugh, Brendan, don't they? But, you know, we know, right, brother? And you guys have been where we've been. If you didn't get them all the way under, they went under again, baby, let me tell you. Women's hair floating out on top, they're going to be bald in heaven. Come on, man, you got to get the hair under too. Yeah, see how funny that is? But you know what? The sinner's prayer is no different. People used to tell us as Church of Christ people, y'all just believe baptism's all about that. Well, you just believe the sinner's prayer is what it's all about. Find me a sinner's prayer in the Bible. Where is that? Nobody said a sinner's prayer in the Bible. Nobody said. Why am I telling you that? It's because I want you to understand without faith, repentance doesn't do anything. Without you're not going to repent if you don't have faith. You're not going to confess if you don't have faith. You're sure not going to submit to baptism if you don't have faith. It's all a part of the journey. So please, by all means today, when you have an opportunity, say out loud or under your breath or whatever you need to do that you can say, "I believe. I believe." Don't leave here without believing. It's the first step into this greater journey. Why is it so important? Because Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Did y'all hear what I just said? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he gives a why. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Now, that's a whole context. I could preach that whole message. I'm not going to. But I just want you to get this, that the people in that chapter, when you read Hebrews 11, every time it says by faith, so-and-so did something, what they did was not the important thing. It was the by faith that was the important thing. Because here's the truth. You're not going to move for God until you have belief. And I'm trying my best today, and I've tried with some of you for a while to get you to understand that you're not going to always understand everything about everything that has to do. Come on, y'all. Some of y'all are Bible scholars, have been in church and Christianity almost all your life, and you're still going, "Man, I don't get this. Here's something right here I don't know about." It's such a vast, wonderful thing. But what I want to do is simplify it for you today and understand that all you need is to take a step. And if you take all those steps today, it's awesome. But when you get there, faith is what's going to carry you on. My baptism happened when I was 14. I can tell you the story in detail. But my baptism doesn't carry me anywhere. It was an event and a moment in time. My belief that Jesus was the Son of God was a moment. Even repentance can be seen. You probably know the day that you said, I am never going to walk for the devil again. I'm going to walk for Jesus. And you can tell when you turned around. And most of us know when we said something to God like, hey, God, I'm sorry. I looked at porn again last night and I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. I yelled at my spouse yesterday and I should not have, and I'm sorry. God, I cut that guy off in traffic and I flipped him off, and I shouldn't have. And we just begin confessing this. And most of us, when it happens, that's when we do it, right? You guys that struggle with porn, you know what happens right after you've fulfilled your need. You begin to feel like garbage. That moment when you screamed at somebody, you know, and you pointed your finger at them, and you called them out. You felt so good about it until it happened. And then you said, what have I just done? I've hurt the one I love the most. In those moments, that's when those on and on again things, you know, we just confess one time. You just keep saying, God, I'm sorry. I love you. And what I love about the Lord's grace and mercy, it's like windshield wipers on my car. He wipes them off and they come back. And he wipes them off and they come back. And he wipes them off and they come back. And it's a continual thing. That's the part I didn't get growing up. Because I thought if I messed up, I might as well go. I'm done. Praise be to God that I can mess up yesterday. And I can wake up today with a brand new, clean slate. Would you stand with me, please? Now listen. We do this every week. And faith is the beginning and the center of everything about your life. When Liz and I pray, I would say almost every time, if not every time, we always pray, God, help us keep you at the center of our marriage. You can say that about your walk at work. You can say that about your walk in the church. You can say that about whatever walk you're walking. God, please keep me at the center of all this. Now, those of you who are guests with us, you see these people scattering around the room on the outer perimeter. This is our prayer team. They have prayed over you already. And now you have an opportunity to walk up to somebody you don't even know and say, hey, I just need you to pray for me for whatever it is. Before we do, we're going to dim the lights down. And I want to ask you to take a moment, just a moment for you. I want to ask you to please, please take this as a serious moment. This could be your marked time for where you say, I don't understand it, I don't get it, but I'm trying and I believe. Can we just all bow our head in prayer? Father, we love you, we honor you, we praise you and glorify you, God. Just the opportunity and the ability to just surrender our life to you and to give our lives over to you, whatever action we need to take, whatever moment we are in our journey. What a great God you are for just listening, Lord. God, I thank you that Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. God, I thank you that he's all that it is. And whatever step we take today, God, we trust in him. God, I say it to you every day. I can't take a step without you. I won't take a step without you. I need your presence. I need your influence. I need your protection. I need your heart. And God, right now, in this room, your people, Father, here. Father, touch a life. Touch a heart. I'm asking you to continue to have your heads bowed, please. Nobody's looking around. If you in this moment are ready to take step one, and that is to say, I believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and I want to give my life to him in faith right now. It's a personal thing. I'm not going to ask you to step out of the aisle. You're not going to have to come down here and tell anybody. I simply want to pray over you, and I would like for you to just lift your hand. If that's where you are, I just want to believe. I just need to believe. Is that you? Is that you? Yes, there's one. Thank you. The angels just had a party for the one. Is there anybody else in this moment? What a time. So, Father God, I pray over this one who has said, I believe and I trust you. I thank you, Father, for meeting that person right where they are. And they can know from today on that things will never be the same. So, God, I thank you for that. Lord, in this moment in time, I just pray that you will bless every heart in this room. And right now, I want to ask you, church, if there's something you just want to pray about that you're not going to go to somebody and say it, you just can't. You can't find yourself in the moment to step out and to walk down. But God knows your heart, and he knows what's going on. Would you let me pray over you? If you just slip your hand up, nobody's watching. Just if there's something in your life that you need prayer over, there's one. Come on. Just anything. There's two. Thank you. Three. They're all over this room. Hands up everywhere. You know why? Because all of us are people, and we all hurt. We all have issues and things that are going on. So, God, right now, for the people who are raising their hand, who are saying, I've got something going on in my life that I don't know what to do with. I'm trying to work on it. I don't know what's happening with it. But, God, they need you. They can't do it without you. God, I pray for surrender, complete surrender, and give up in their life, Father, right now. They would just give it all over to you. And I pray, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will touch the hearts that are absolutely willing to say, hey, I've got something going on in my life, and just, Father, erase guilt, any shame, any problems that are there, anything that's keeping them between whatever it is that's keeping them away from serving you, God, I pray for a moment in time to just take that away right now, Lord. Thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I pray, Father, right now that you remove that from them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song. And the theme of this song is surrender. And at any time, these people that are standing here, they want to pray with you. Maybe you need to just step out during this song and just pray. This is an opportunity for you to do that. And I hope you will. I hope you will.
Eyes are on the cross where you gave it all. I worship you. I worship you. I see the one who saves, the light of heaven's grace. I run to you. I run to you and I surrender, I lay my life down at your feet. God of mercy, you are worthy. I give you every part of me. Thank you.
song's a prayer, isn't it? God, I surrender. It's time for some of us just to give up. Just give up. Throw up the white flag. Say, God, this is what's all about you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hey, if you made a move toward Christ today, I'd love to know about it. I really would. I'd like to be able to connect with you. If you're a guest with us, please take one of those connection cards out of the chair in front of you. Just fill that out. And you can drop it in the black boxes right as you go out the back of the auditorium. If you're online, please go to our Connect page. Connect with us. And again, we don't have all the answers, but I know that Jesus is the answer. For those of you who raised your hand and said, I'm going through something, I'm struggling, or I need prayer for something, or whatever it is, if you want to take this another step, we'll put it before our prayer team. Put it on a prayer card. Drop it in that box back there, and you'll be prayed over about that situation every day. Promise you that. So please, please just take a step. If some of you are at the point where you need water baptism and you want us to take care of that, we can take care of that today or whenever. We're ready, whenever you're ready. We want to be able to help you with that. And so just remember, of all of this, remember, it's always about what he did. Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. It's all about him. It's giving your life to him. It's been a wonderful day. God bless you all. I love you. We want to dismiss you. Hope you have a great Sunday. And, hey, be careful going home. Don't run out. We want to meet you. We'd love to meet you. Please hang out and talk to us just a little bit. We love you guys. Have a great Sunday. God bless. Yeah.